Welcome to the Eagles Nest Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter.
Tithe. Tithe and offering. What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to share a mighty moment. A mighty moment. Let's just say mighty moment. That's the Holy Spirit. I didn't prepare that. This is a mighty moment. God gets in our actions. He gets in our obedience. He gets in a lifestyle of obedience. He gets in a lifestyle of action. And I want to encourage us this morning in our obedience to the Lord. And there's something about tithe that gives me more faith than I would have if I wasn't being obedient in the tithe. What do you mean by that, Stu? Well, what I mean by that is when my kids maybe have a little bit of a health thing going on, or I've got a work situation, I'm really blessed at my job, and just stuff starts to pile up, all of a sudden, if the waves get wavy, how many of you guys been on a boat when it's wavy? You cannot do anything against waves. I mean, those waves are going to come. You might as well just hang on. But when the waves of life start to happen, it's like, hold the phone. I am an obedient tither that has, there's more power in me than is he that is in the world, because greater is he that is in me. Hallelujah. So if, let me say it a different way. If I have this situation come up in life and I'm not a tither and I just kind of like crumble, it's like, okay, woe is me. When you're a tither, you get to stand on the promises of the Lord. You get to behold the glory of his face in your family, in your work, in your homestead. I encourage you today, if you are facing anything, I don't care if turf toe is an athlete, all the way up to some financial dilemma, and you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, I encourage you to step out in faith and say, God, here is what I do. Here's 10% of what I do. And I'm putting this down just like Elisha took Elijah's mantle and smote the Jordan River and it parted. That is what your tithe does to anything that is against you. That is an obedience that God has to act on your behalf for. I got some sleepy folks out here, or we're just all like internalizing it. Somebody help me. Does anybody believe in the power of the gospel and in the power of our tithe and in our obedient? Hallelujah. Let's praise him right now. Come on, let's lift up a shout of praise. Shout of praise. Come on, let's praise Jesus. Because it's real. It's more real than the Packer game that we lost on Thursday night. It's so real, our lifestyle. God isn't keeping track, but doggone it, if we're tithing, he gets to show up in ways that he would never have before. All right, so I want to inspire you. I want to encourage you. And if you want like real life examples, I can tell you some after this. Okay, so just encourage you. If you're tither, awesome. Then the next level for you, that next glory level, like us worshipers, us crazy people like to talk about, hey, that's found in the offering. I encourage you today to write a bigger check. See what God can do. See what's on the other side of a sacrifice. God doesn't get in to sacrifice if there's not first obedience. After that lifestyle of obedience, the next beautiful thing is a sacrifice. So I encourage us, let's hold our gifts up before the Lord right now as a holy, beautiful thing. Just like there was an altar. You know, my beautiful sister led us in worship this morning. That was an altar. This is another altar. Heavenly Father, let's just close our eyes. And I want you to put in front of you whatever it is, if it's healing or if it's a revival in your family or something else, put it in front of you right now. And just declare that this is a solved situation. This is a wholesome environment. This is a whole body. Lord Jesus, we honor you with our tithes and with our offerings, God, knowing that you are the creator of the universe, that you are bigger than politics, that you are bigger than the doctor's report, that you are bigger than what my bank account says, that you are bigger than what my kids tell me or what my parents tell me, Lord Jesus, or what my friends have done or haven't done. Lord Jesus, you hold the keys to my future, and I welcome you in to my life in a greater way today in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say amen.
It's good to be with you this morning. Thank you once again for coming to the class, those of you that have enrolled in that. And as a reminder, every class stands on its own. Everyone is a principle that you want to learn, and you want to learn how to activate in your life. So I invite you to make your schedule open to that and join the fellowship and get in the Word of God. We're going to do that here. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this move of the Spirit that we have recognized, that you have invited us into. It's been here for ages and ages, and this is our opportunity to enter into it. Thank you for the divine invitation through Jesus Christ in simple faith as a child. As we say, I believe, we thank you for blessing each and every person here. Lord, bless those that are traveling. Pastor Mike's preaching at a prison. I thank God for the message that you've given him about people entering into their land of promise through faith. Thank you for the women's ministry that went on yesterday. And we just bless all the eternal seeds that have been sowed. Thank you that your angels are watching over that and that they will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I'm asking you that the fruit would remain, that none would break through to steal, corrupt, or destroy those good things that you are establishing in our lives. We'll see it in our children's children's children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to go back to some PowerPoints today because this is important to me. It's important to the Lord. It's important for you. And I know that you've been following along. Thank you. We've been studying in 1 John together. And as I do that, I want to remind the Lord, Isaiah 43, put me in remembrance, says the Lord, of my word. And that's a good thing to do. He's actually encouraging us to be reminded of what he did. But on Wednesday, the young adult study group, or really it's for any age, if you're interested in a Bible study and some personal friendship, come on out, follow their schedule. They kind of move around. On Wednesday, we were down in Pleasant Prairie, right north of the Illinois border, at the Encounter Church. It used to be Lakewood Tabernacle, right on the lakeshore there. There's about 1,000 people there. Actually, it holds 989, I asked. I'm always into building capacities and lighting and structure and all of that. That's one of the things I like. But Sean Boltz was there out of California ministering in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God had given him. And that was really special. Dawn had to leave already. I was going to have her give this testimony. And I want to honor this house, because this house is here because people like you have dedicated your lives to Jesus. But then the next thing is, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he'll gather you together. He'll form a core. He'll form a team, give a vision, and then you execute that vision. And it was on the young people's heart to go down there. Stu and Kiri saw Sean in 2016 when he was at the call, the end of, and actually it's in one of the books. He's writing about, he blessed me with a book. I was one of the pastors. And I said, I was going to give it away. And I thought, no, I think there's probably something in this for me. So I've already got some really good stuff out of that. But Stu and Curie were there when he was prophesying over, I guess it was 58,000 people down there. And nothing was coming. Then all of a sudden, God gave him a thought. And he spoke that thought. And way up there, the two people whose names, I think it was Dennis and Susan, they came down out of the balcony, and God started moving and healing and all those wonderful things. But I wanted to just honor this church. Colleen was going to go, and I was going to stay with the young people in one of our local outreach at Promised Land, where they're doing a great job. Thank you, Mitch and Emily, and young people, the Enders children, for helping beautify that land and be good stewards. I kind of was drawn there, but then at the last minute, I felt the Lord kind of, I think you need to do this. So I want to be with those 19 people that went down there. And so I was watching, and I was particularly blessed with his teaching. The teaching is important because, you know, the bells, the whistles, the fuzzies, the free books and all of that, that's all good, and the worship. But after that's over, the substance of the Word of God is eternal. And if you build your life on the Word of God, Jesus promised us you'd never fail. Storms will come and you won't fall. But so I was really glad for his teaching. It was very solid and very informational and revelational. And then when he got to the gifts, this is what I wanted to say. Colleen had it on her heart. She said, Tim, you know, I feel like I know Dawn, the team's going, and Clark and Linda are on the team, and I don't see Dawn on that list. So she said, Lord, if you want me to bless her, just kind of make it possible. So Colleen called, and they had another ticket, and Colleen made that happen. And Dawn was on the other end saying, Lord, I'd really like to go. Could you make it happen? And it happened. And so, you know, I kind of got the inside skinny on that. But this is what's really special. Because when you say, oh, that guy's a worldwide minister and out of Hollywood and ministering to, you know, MVPs of the NFL and movie stars. But Joel chapter 2 says that in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is in our generation. It's available to you. He's available to me, or it's really neuters. He, she, whatever God needs to do, he's willing to do it. And my wife caught that nudge from the Lord and obeyed. And then Dawn came, and here's the clincher. Everyone that was there, it was special. It was almost 10 o'clock already. He said, okay, now I'm going to minister some words of the knowledge. I feel God's spoken to me. And he's standing, we're up on the balcony. He's standing way down there. He said, first of all, I want to just say, is there a Dawn Marie here? And Dawn's sitting there, yes, I'm up here. And I mean, the first fruits of the anointing, like my core today, that's where God spoke to me. And everything else is like wrapper and back pocket information and support. I want you to know that you have power to declare the will of God in your life. That's what I want to get to you today. So that's the theme. So it's the first fruits, getting back to Wednesday, of his ministry was, is there a Dawn Marie here tonight? And I looked at Colleen, she looked at Dawn, and Dawn's zooming down to the rail, and he says, God wants to minister to you. And then all of a sudden, I was in an angle where I could see it all, and then there was two other Dawn Maries. And then they raised their hands, but Dawn got the first fruits of the first fruits, which came from this church, from the Lord putting a nudge in someone's ear, buy this ticket, make that happen. And that's declaring and fulfilling the will of God. And that's, for me, just flat out why I'm alive, and I'm excited about that. So if you want to know more about what God said to Dawn, you talk to her. She's actually with her children's dedication with our believing brethren down the road. And so thank God for the tribe of Crimson Way. I was in ministry with them in the 80s together. I'm excited for what the Lord's doing. I'm glad that church is working well. So here, let's get to 1 John chapter 1. I want to invite you to declare yes to Jesus. Now, how about that font? You know, I love the Word of God, and I just want you, I've been off, I think July 7th was the last time I put a PowerPoint together. I've did, over the years, thousands of them, so I'm not as skilled as the young people with all the new stuff, but I want to honor the Lord and our generous partners. Where's Pastor Bill? This is a MacBook Pro. He said, Tim, I think you need to, I said, man, that stuff scares me. I finally learned PC. I still can manage a slide rule and a scale and a pencil. But I'm learning. So this is my first day. Thank you, young people, for educating me on MacBook Pro. Thank you, Kathy Reppert. She's back home watching. Thank you for making all this technology possible. May God be glorified in it. But I want to say yes to Jesus, and I want to encourage you to do the same. The Word of God is important, so let's read or follow along together. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. There's the point I want to make in verse 3 and then down in verse 5 again. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy might be full. I'm so glad God wants me to be joyful. And will you just kind of just get your hands moving or do this or just let the joy of the Lord, not out of your head because you had a chocolate donut, but out of your spirit, man, that knows that Jesus paid the price for any failure, defeat, sin you've ever done. That makes me happy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's worth standing about. Look at these are my elders. I'm so glad to be around these people. That's what we declare. That your joy might be full. This is the message then that we have heard of him. In verse 5, he says it again. So repetition breeds consistency. This is a consistent message. And for the importance, it's redundant. We declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we have, say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying and we're not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, there's the gospel. Now, let me give you I got to remember. This is not a touchscreen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Here's summary to date. I want you to observe these 6 points. I've been saying them, but sometimes it's good to see it. John is touching most all the sensory realms there, and he's saying that which we was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and that which we have handled with our hands of the word of life, that's what we're declaring. So the message we're talking about, and that Carrie and Barb were sharing yesterday, that was taught this morning, is an eternal message. It didn't start with me. It didn't start with Billy Graham. It's not a Catholic version. It's God presenting his love to the earth. It's an eternal message. The first sense that usually picks it up is hearing. We hear first, then we see as a passing glance. We turn toward it and look upon, fasten our gaze, and continue to process and learn. And then we touch his presence by enjoying his mercy. The hands of the Lord actually are underneath carrying us, their head leading us, and then that eternal life is made manifest. It actually shows up in your life. I am not the same person I was in 1976 when I got saved. I've grown a little, I've aged a little, but I've grown a tremendous amount in the ways of the Lord. I know how God thinks in many ways. I have many more things to learn, but I have accomplished, and so have you, and that's what he's talking about. Eternal life is really available. It's real. It's not, well, I hope I make it. I want to settle that hope today with an assurance so you can declare. In fact, go down to 19. We declare unto you this message. John got it to the place of beyond his insecurities as a teenager when he started following Jesus. I think he loves me, but I'm not sure. Peter's more loud. Peter's more bold. Peter's more boisterous. And Peter says what I think, and I don't say it, so Peter gets the attention, but I really think he loves me, the disciple who... Remember all of those questions? Here's some declarations I want you to make. This is where I want to end, so let's start, and I'll try to keep the end and the beginning close together. God sends a message, or God sends a messenger into your life. He sent one into my life. It was primarily my mother when she got saved and received the Lord Jesus watching a Billy Graham crusade. And God entered into her life, and I think her and Dad were in their 30s or 40s. I don't recall which. I remember I was age 17. But let's say this together. I believe in, just read along with me, and we'll do it again at the end. I believe in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ has paid my sin debt once for all. I believe that I am on my way to heaven. And this is my sentence. I also believe and I pray that heaven is on its way to... That's Matthew 6. Pray that way. It's coming here today. We felt healing presence. I believe in Jesus' promise to keep me in the Father's hand. And I may fall, but I will rise again. I may fail, but I will learn to succeed. I believe in Jesus' promise that if I can believe, all things are possible. This includes me, and I am believing for impossible things. That's what I want to talk about here today. So there's a good declaration. Now, that didn't come out of a book or anything. It just kind of came out of my heart as I'm processing this. And that's what we want to talk about. Now, let's look at another little goal and summary version or an outline. Number 4, please, Julia. Thank you so much for helping me. So out of the book of 1 John, we can conclude that God or Yahweh sends a message or a messenger. I want to get to that real quick. I got about two more minutes in this review overview, but this is really good. So God sends a message or a messenger, and we hear. Remember, John said that which was from the beginning, the message of God came. We listen, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's where it begins. The first greatest commandment is to hear, to listen. And then we begin to process. The goal of hearing or listening is not just hearing something. The goal is to process it in order that you might understand it. Let's jump ahead to Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Jesus said when the word of God is sown, like the parable of the sower, there's four soils that it opens. I'm thinking of opening my bottle because my throat is getting scratchy. There's four types of soil that it lands upon. There's good soil, there's thorny ground, there's shallow ground, and then there's the footpath. But even on the good ground, Jesus identified what I'm talking about here in number three. And this is important because this will help you understand where you are in your life. Jesus said, when the seed of the Word of God is sown on the good ground and someone does not understand it, does anyone know what the next word is in that scripture? Immediately. Say immediately. Immediately comes the wicked one to steal it away. Why? Because you didn't know what was given to you. If you give me the keys to the John Deere tractor that we and I don't know how to run it, you know, no one's going on that thing till Terry comes in and schools me on it. Oh, that's what that thing does. We want to understand, and in the process of understanding, questions are okay. See my smiley face? That's nice. Now, the goal of understanding is God getting us to believe. Remember Isaiah's classic, Isaiah 53, who has believed our report and to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? What's he saying? For he shall grow out of a tender ground and shall grow up. He's saying that the power that God is willing to express in the earth, Mitch was catching it today, our worship team, it doesn't come from the head. It comes through faith, simple childlike faith in Christ Jesus. And so when we believe the arm of the Lord, God rolls up his arm and he can do great things in our lives. One of the things that you want to believe in is the power of God to reward those that seek him and honestly give to him. It's kind of a semantical thing with giving. But as you grow in the things of the Lord, you'll find out that the first tenth really isn't yours anyway. It belongs to God. From not part of the Mosaic law. It's part of the expression of God's creation. And so it's a realm of being obedient to the Lord, and that's an action that we take. So the action is to declare. The action I'm talking about today is declaring that we are well able to go up at once and possess the land. I think last week we talked about John. Let's just jump down to John 1:14. This is really good. This word that was revealed became flesh. The word was made flesh. It was in the beginning. It was with God and was God. We beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testified of him, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The next one, this is what I want to talk as in principle, then we'll share the story that I had mentioned last week that I hope the Lord will really bless you in. Verse 18, the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then John, the gospel writer, who was very close to Jesus, he wrote this probably in his 80s on the Isle of Patmos. He said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son of the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared. Jesus is the one that declares the Father. So Jesus is the true message that comes from heaven. He's here today in the form of his Holy Spirit, and he's blessing us with a message of his love. And if we dial it down to an action to take today, it's this: believe in the Lord and begin to declare what he says about you. That's very powerful when you put that activity in motion. Now let's look at Luke chapter 1. I've got some scriptures to read here. And I'd just like you to follow along and enjoy the story. And Luke chapter 1, for as much as many have taken in their hand to set forth in order a declaration, there's the word again, there's some things in life worth declaring, and the gospel is at the absolute top of the list. I'm going to say that until this church is filled. And we got to occupy the other campuses with more meetings like this because people want, I want to know about this Jesus. How did you get your eyes healed? Where's Diane today? She might be with her family. How did she not die of cancer when I was there when they said, I've got days to 6 weeks to live? How does that happen? Well, Jesus is a lover. He's a healer. So Luke now is writing. We've read what John wrote. Luke now is writing, and he's qualifying his writings. I love the confidence that comes when someone is an eyewitness of what they're talking about. So as many as have set forth in declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they were delivered them unto us, which was from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, Luke writing, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. How about that? That's a bus you want to be on if he's driving it. To write unto you in order, O most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty of those things wherein you have been instructed. So he's this is like the preview of what he's going to write, and now he begins. Okay. There were in those days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well now stricken in years. And it came to pass that while Zacharias executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, this was his duty, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Imagine that message. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, before the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So there's 118 words that were spoken by the angel Gabriel standing right next to the altar of incense. It's like you'd be playing guitar, playing the bongos, or doing the offering, and an angel says, Hey, I got a message for you. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel Gabriel answered him and said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you, to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Well, he's talking with an angel, or an angel's talking to him. I'm not going to leave till I get the message. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he was speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now, would you agree with me that God intruded, invaded, interrupted someone's cycle of ministry? Yes. However you want to say it, I don't know. Well, I would say that he came invited, because the angel Gabriel, who is the chief angel, there was Lucifer, there was Gabriel, and there was Michael, the three reflecting the glory off of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That goes back to, you know, pre-Adamic teaching and study, and I've soaked thousands of hours, and I could just, But so he's got a moment here, and with Gabriel, and Gabriel said, don't be afraid, your prayers are answered. And so there's a messenger coming with a message, and it's specific, it's personal, it's coming to Zechariah, and Zechariah's prayers have been heard, and they're about to be answered. And the scripture tells us that Zechariah was first of all troubled, then he was fearful. So if Julia, if you could find wherever that little The one with process is number 3. Just zoom back to that. I don't want to bump my apple here. I don't want to bruise my apple. How's that sound? I'm still learning my apple here. Where is that? I think it's number 4. Yeah. He's in the process mode. This formula, the way God wired human beings works whether you know it or not. This works. He gets a message from God. He hears it. He's processing. He's understanding through his own limitations. I'm old, and my wife is old, and we don't do that anymore. And it frustrates the angel. He announces with his words what he believes. Instead of announcing with his words what message came from God. Is confession important? Before you can declare, you got to confess. Before you can confess with any real meaning, you need to understand. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but it's important that we understand it. Okay, let's go back down to where we were. So the child comes, but the issue is he's dumb for 10, 11 months, however long it took him back, and to go through the process of procreation, and then the baby comes, and wow, God really did do what he said he was going to do. And before I move beyond Zechariah, in the 118 words that Gabriel gave to him, and then the follow-up rebuttal, I want to point out that the angel said, you're going to have to be moved out of the way with the way you talk until God performs what he's going to perform anyway. Aren't you glad God has his way, and it's not your way, it's his way? Thank you, Jesus. It came to pass. So now let's look at 6 months later, because there's another dispatch from the throne room of heaven. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, same angelic being, was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. We know the story. And of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when Mary saw him, she was troubled. Same word that Zechariah expresses. He was troubled, she was troubled. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind. She's in the timeline of processing a message. Her day was interrupted. Her virginity, her date, your betrothal. Man, we're just getting through some. It's like nobody die, nobody get married just for a couple of months, or call Clark, call Terry, call. I need a break from all that. But when you're watching people in betrothal, man, they are like the center of the universe. Everything's about the flowers, the cake, the wedding, the planning, all that. Well, she's in that mode, and she's interrupted. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, the same thing he said to Zechariah, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Could I liken that to Zechariah? "Don't be afraid, your prayers are being answered. Or are heard and about to be answered. For behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said, remember in the processing, number 3 of the way people think and receive, it's okay with God to ask questions. It's okay. Here's a question. Zechariah asked the question, and I'm not judging his heart, but we can sure see from the fruit that the motive was wrong. Here's a question. "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She's talking to the angel. And the angel answered the question and said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you, and therefore that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was also called barren." Verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, say it with me, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, here's the message, an eternal message coming from God. What a special message. Coming to a virgin, betrothed to Joseph, she hears the message, she's in process. Her process is shorter. Maybe not shorter, But her conclusion is vastly different than Zacharias, who said, I'm old, she's old and well stricken in years, and the way we've been is the way we are and the way we're going to be, and nothing's going to change that. God had to stop the mouth of that kind of talk. So here's a young woman with her whole future in front of her, and her confession, which becomes her declaration, says, behold, just say it with me, behold the handservant of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That is a declaration. Both individuals were troubled. Both individuals had fear. Both individuals moved in this season of processing with different results. And here's where I'd like to conclude, right where I began today. Because if every one of us had an opportunity to stand up in here, we could, if we felt trusted, we could share where, you know what, I'm troubled. If I had to be honest, there, fear grips me in the middle of the night. And I wake up and, oh, it just feels better in the daytime. I don't know why it's like that, but it's like that for me. In the morning, I get back and get in the Word of God. This morning, it was from 2 to 3. I was on a watch, picked up that new Sean Bolts book. I said, well, if I'm not going to ever say the devil's keeping me awake, so God, here I am, keep my eyes open and pour something into me. He really blessed me. But we want to get to the place where in our time of trouble, we say about ourselves what God has already said. Not, well, I don't do baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't need that born again stuff. You know, one person told me, well, I was born a Methodist. I'm a Methodist and I'll die a Methodist. And, you know, back in those days, my comment, I don't do this anymore. But then, well, I hope you die a saved Methodist. But, you know, that would be for all of us. But the Lord sometimes roils the water. Remember the troubling of the waters in the pool of Siloam? Remember the rustling of the mulberry leaves behind David? God uses processing moments where we don't have the answer to give us an opportunity to put the right answer on the test of our confession, to move it to a declaration that I believe it's going to be even as God told me. And I believe I'm in a faith-filled environment here this morning. And I know that we can all get stuck. I think Zechariah was stuck in his season of life. He just learned to manage barrenness, learned to manage his ministry without an impartation of God coming through it like God wanted to do. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet. Now, let's go to the next one. There's many more supports that I could give to this, but I feel this story will energize and activate some things that God has already spoken to you. Thank you, Jesus. There are many, many, many declarations in the Word of God. In fact, Joel Osteen wrote a book. It was given to me as a gift from one of our elders here. This is a really good book. It's simple. I think it's 31 chapters for a devotional one per day to get it done in a month. But I want to encourage you to start using these simple principles. If you've done it and kind of put it aside, I would invite you to begin to dust it off and bring it before you. And let's start. Let's go to the next one, please, again, because this is important. Out of your believing in Jesus, everything else flows. You can't even perceive the love of God without knowing the source of love, which is God. And God says only through Jesus can we understand that. So let's confess this together. And just begin to make this a personal altar to the Lord. Father, I ask you to bless the words of our mouth. You said that in Matthew chapter 12, as you were talking to your friends, you said that our words are so important that it is actually a means whereby we're justified or whereby a person could be condemned. We know habeas corpus in the judicial system is the same outflow of that same principle. We read in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life and the life was the light of men. You spoke the worlds into existence by your words. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you to descend and overshadow us. And thank you. Some people are going to begin to have encounters with angels in a personal way. We all have a personal angel, and then there's corporal angels. Holy Spirit, I ask you just to pour out the grace and the goodness that's around the throne room, that we could all move to the next level of our experience with our Savior Jesus. Let's confess this together. Stu, will you just help me with a little organ? Will you read it if you need to read it or speak it out loud? I believe in Jesus. Let's say it together in unison. I believe in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for my sin debt once for all. I believe that I'm on my way to heaven, and I also believe that I pray that heaven is on its way to me, even today, Lord. I believe in Jesus' promise to keep me in Father's hand, and I may fall, but I will rise again. I may fail, but I will learn to succeed. I believe in Jesus' promise that if I can believe, all things are possible. This includes me, and I'm believing for impossible things. This is so important for us to get. Where did Gabriel get the message that he brought to those two people? It didn't originate with him. He said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. In the presence of God, a dispatch came in the form of a message. God wanted to make it so indelibly impactful that he would send it in a spiritual messenger named Gabriel. And God had confidence in his delegation that the message would be uncorrupted and would bring forth fruit. Guess who is speaking to you right now? A messenger with a message. That same authority is here right now. And you can do one of two things. You can take more time to process and stay stuck. Or you can say, behold, the manservant, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your will. What is troubling you? Stuart quoted it a little while ago. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's something that you don't know the way around. Will you believe with me right now that the power of these declarations is intervening on your behalf? Will you believe with me right now that as you just simply say yes to declaring Jesus, I don't know how, but I do know who. Will you believe with me that even today could be the breakthrough? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. David said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. In another place, he said, I will declare the decree. And then he quotes God speaking about him. You are my son, David. This day have I begotten to you. Will you say this with me? I am declaring the decree that God says about me. That I am born of His Spirit, and I will not fall, fail, or fall away. But I surrender my life to Him as best as I know how. Lord, will you begin to empower our words? Will you begin to energize our testimony in such a way? Peter caught this. And his even trailing shadow could bring healing to an individual. Paul could look on someone and discern that their heart wasn't right and say, blindness will hinder your hindering my work. Talking to Elymas or Simon the sorcerer. that wanted to buy the power of God. Lord, I just proclaim and speak forth the goodness and the mercy beginning to increase in our midst. Thank you that you're speaking to people right now that the gifts of the Spirit, just like the Lord spoke to Colleen, buy Dawn a ticket. Why? Because I want to put her on the top marquee of someone that I raised up in Los Angeles, California, before 1,000 people to let her know how much I love her and how her prayers have been honored, stewarded, and are being answered even this very moment. Will you put your loved ones that perhaps are straying or just distant from the plan of God and you feel that burden for them? Will you declare that they are born of the Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. That it is well with their soul. That it is well with your home and it is well with their lives in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, we've made these declarations. We thank you for taking our words and honoring our simple faith in you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just wait on the Lord just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. What are you sensing right now? There's a first time for everything. And there's a last time for everything. There's a first time for hearing a new thing that God is doing in your life. My son, and I didn't ask him to, but he really pushed hard on giving this morning. Maybe a stone of experience was being rolled away. Yes. And there's a first time to hear a message, and then there's a last time that you'll ever doubt. I'll never, ever, ever doubt that God has called me. Heard his audible voice 7 times. That in itself, and it's not something you talk about because it's a time that you have with the Lord until he says talk about it. There was a first time, and then a process begins. You understand and begin to believe and begin to declare. Lord, will you let that good thing that you're doing at Eagle's Nest Church, will you let it move through us? Will you let it increase? I thank you for the real presence in heartfelt worship of people that are sold out to you just to call upon you and love you as we know you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Lord, as I conclude, I ask you to bring a sign. I ask you to give a sign out of the right heart, not with a wrong motive. You told those that were following you, ask me a sign, I'll give it to you, whether in heaven or in the earth. I ask you to give each person here a sign about what's been troubling them is in your hands. Some are going to see an angel. Some are going to get new gifts of the Spirit. And God is going to get you a message. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a message of love. It'll all come back to the love of God through Jesus. God loves people. And the message of love is our basis to declare the goodness of God. The goodness of God gave Noah a rainbow. That was a message to him. The goodness of God gave Moses a bush. There was a message in that bush. The goodness of God gave Gideon a dewy morning, and then the following day a dry morning, or a dry morning and a dewy morning. The goodness of God sent fire to Elijah as he prayed earnestly for his generation that was steeped in idolatry. The goodness of God gave Elisha the chariot and the mantle. The goodness of God gave Isaac a hairy arm to feel, and he knew how badly his son wanted an inheritance, and he granted it to him. Thank you, Jesus. The goodness of God let a woman grab the hem of Jesus' garment, and she received what she asked for. Thank you, Father, that signs and wonders are following our lives and that we're defining where we are in you. We say what you say about us, that we are well able to go up at once and possess the land by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. The message that God gives to us is to fear not, but only believe. Mm-hmm. Jesus has taken away the sin debt, and as you just simply follow him, the light of the Lord gets brighter and brighter. In fact, light is always a sign from the Lord. God uses the elements. The wind was assigned to David. The water in the troughs was assigned to King Jehoshaphat. The sun was assigned to King Ahaz. The star in the east was assigned to the shepherds moving toward Bethlehem. The sun, the moon, the stars, and then the Son of God is assigned for us to believe. Thank you, Jesus. Could you just join me in lifting your hands? Just tell Jesus, I believe. Well, we used to sing so many simple songs. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's here to heal us, to forgive, to bless, to empower us. Lord, now take every person. Thank you for those signs that have already been sealed and dispatched from heaven, some by angels. Some have already received an impression from the Lord. Some have already felt a stirring in your heart. I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to tell, and it's important that you, like Sean Bowles, it's important for Colleen to say, Tim, this is what I think we should do, because it strengthens the testimony. Now God's honoring her step of $32 ticket. It became part of that whole presentation of the words of knowledge. So I encourage you to open your mouth with good confessions. And when you get the confirmation that, yes, that's the Lord, this is the time, in boldness and faith, declare it. Declare it before God in heaven. Don't worry about the adversary. You don't have to talk to the adversary. He'll get the message. Just talk to Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord Jesus a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Will you greet your neighbor? If you'd like personal prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. We have a team of anointed elders and leaders and teachers. They'll bless you and minister to you. If you need food, you come. We'll feed you and make sure that you have everything that you can take home. God bless you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to a recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter. Please visit eaglesnestchurch.net for more information.